www.thebeatsofmetal.com. What's on your mind on KFIRE 550? I'm Steve Bach, along with Scott Hannon at 2580550 or 1-800-228-0550. We want to know what's on your mind.
Why do listeners need that number, Steve?
Because we want to know what's on their mind, Scott.
So we're not going to talk, they're going to talk?
That's the beauty of this. See, we sold this whole concept of we get 2 hours to get out of work.
To just listen.
Well, okay, that too.
Is that why the good Lord gave us 2 ears and only one mouth?
Exactly. So we can listen.
We shut our pie holes and eat pie.
We could listen.
And listen.
And eat cinnamon logs from Bread Poets.
It's pretty good.
Those are good stuff. Thank you for bringing that in again.
One of these days.
Through the first one, we had to send somebody out to your truck to get the second one.
Later this week, we're going to go fishing. Because it's the Minnesota Fishing Opener, we're going to try and settle once and for all whether the fishing's better in North Dakota or Minnesota. I know those are fighting words.
Well, no. This is apples and oranges, though, because it's fishing in North Dakota and ice fishing for the Minnesota Opener
in
Minnesota.
How it works. Yeah,
so it's fishing and ice fishing. There's a difference.
Anyway, it is what's on your mind. We do have a number of guests today because the North Dakota legislative session is the big story of the week since it just wrapped up over the weekend. And the guests are here to answer your questions. You're the experts. You're the voters, you're the listeners, so let us know what you have in the way of questions for them, including the House Majority Leader, Republican Al Carlson of Fargo, who joins us now. Hi, Al, how are you?
Pretty good. How are you guys?
Good morning, Al. Are you all recovered? Are you all rested up?
You know, I wouldn't say that. I think after being in the battle zone for 80 days, I think it takes more than one night.
Who are you in the battle zone with? Was it Democrats or was it Senate Republicans?
Well, some of each. You know, but in the end, it was a matter of disagreement in how you distribute a bunch of property tax relief money. That was a good problem to have, by the way. But it was also a problem you got to get it right to make sure that the money gets back to the people. So it worked out.
Al, part of the little indiscretion at the end was the fact that you were trying to get more property tax relief from what the Senate had decided on. How did that discussion go? Walk us through that process and how you wound up getting more tax relief for North Dakota.
You know, and what happened is that I actually was just defending the House's position from the first half. We had mill levy reduction grants of about $545 million the first half, and then a direct payment on the taxes for about another $140 million. So we both had the same number, $714 million for the property tax relief. It's an amazing number when you think about it. 35% of the property tax bill was going to come back in those two bills. Unfortunately, people panicked thinking we were killing the education bill, which, by the way, was never in danger because the basic education bill was still in place, 1013. What we were dealing with was the mill levy reduction grants for educational funding. And we got that done, but the difference was we wanted more accountability. We just thought that we need to somehow slow this spending train at all levels of subdivision. And they did make it a little better in 1319. But it didn't deal with the other subdivisions, and by the way, in the end, we still didn't get enough safeguards. But I've always been a one-for-$1 kind of guy. If you're bragging for sending a dollar home on property tax relief, then try and get as much of that dollar home as you can. And we did a better job. We still got a ways to go there.
Al Carlson is with us, the House Majority Leader. A lot of folks have focused on the last hours. Max Schneider was on with us earlier, called it a circus. You know, is that a fair description? On the other hand, Dale Wetzel was here to say, hey, you know, the sessions sort of always end like that in one form or another, but he did acknowledge there were a lot of PR stumbles, as he called them, throughout the session. I mean, is that criticism that, I guess, masks the actual work that you did?
You know, I think that he wasn't in the center ring of the discussion, so he probably felt that way. But those of us that were involved in discussions knew exactly what we were after. And the Senate knew what we were after. In the end, everybody voted for both bills, DPI bill where we put all the mill levy reduction grant money, and 2036 was some reform and another $200 million. So maybe because they weren't involved in the daily and the minute and the hourly discussions, they felt like it was a circus. But there was a plan for what we did, and you know who won in the end was the taxpayers in North Dakota.
Al, from a spending standpoint, was there too much spending? I actually heard legislators discussing the legacy fund in 2017, which scared the crap out of me as a citizen of North Dakota. But overall, legislators approved $4.6 billion in ongoing appropriations, a 30.9% increase over the $3.5 billion in spending last biennium. Where does that leave us in North Dakota? That's a lot of money on the table. Is that one-time expenditures, trying to get infrastructure caught up? Is this a spending rate at which we can expect to operate the state budget over coming years?
Well, the House's concern has always been what you just mentioned, is that one-time expenditures, when you have the money, are a good thing if you put them in the right place. What you don't want to do is outrun your revenues with your expenses. And when you look at that 30% increase, that's basically 15% a year, but you've got to take out the FMAP, which is the our federal match, because our incomes have gone up. That was $135 million of that. There were two different property tax relief increases in there of about $500 million. So if you take those two away, where you actually ended up was about it's a 12, 13% increase, not counting the pay package, or 6% a year. So was it more than some people like? Yes. But there were some expenses that we can get out of the property tax relief business, and that would be a lot less. So we think we've kept our ongoing pretty well in line. But we spent almost $3 billion on one-time expenditures, including highways and all the infrastructure out west and the roads and townships in the east. So what we did spend one time was a darn good investment.
One listener asks, please ask Al Carlson how a conservative could support the big spending Republican Party. I can't imagine how the Democrats could have spent more. There appears to be no difference in the parties. How would you respond to that, Al?
Well, that's not true. There wouldn't have been a nickel left if it hadn't been for the Republicans trying to hold the line. But when you collect $6 billion of biennium from oil and you have massive impacts out west, how in the world can you not put money back into that when you take it from them, and you need to redistribute some of that back, because otherwise this one-time harvest is going to go away. So, I disagree with them. Did we spend a lot? I'd love to have an old even budget and then have a few amendments added on each time. But let me tell you, look at the governor's budget, look where it was at, and they seem to believe that that's the blueprint. And we had to fund some things. FMAP was a big one, $138 million because our economy's booming. How do you not put money back into infrastructure out west? How do you not increase funding for schools and find out what the right level for that is? K-12 and higher ed were winners in these budgets. Human services, $2.7 billion. I mean, if you just look at all the various areas, transportation, $2 billion. We've never had numbers like that before, but we've never had needs like this that booming economy has created for us.
Al, Max Schneider said that the abortion bills were a distraction from what was trying to get done with this legislative session. Listener emails in, Tom. The life abortion legislative bills are historic. He says they were not a distraction, as important as they were actual time-wise. These bills took up a small percentage of actual time. Were they a distraction? It plopped right down in the middle of the second half. Was it a distraction for what was trying to get done and some of the spending issues that we were dealing with towards the end of the session?
The spending issues, the bills we had at the end of the session actually were the same bills that the House passed out at the first half. And I would say that those people, the pro-life issues are extremely emotional, but it did not dominate the session. Did it set some landmark legislation? Yes, it did. But it didn't dominate. I tell you what dominated. It was the infrastructure spending. Higher education was more of a sideshow than anything else in the whole session.
Well, let's talk about the higher ed. We only have a minute left. What do you think the ultimate outcome is going to be? A question to the people?
I think that what we put on the ballot to change the way the governance is, and this has always been about governance to me. Scott, I think we need to look at governance, and we need to have a model for the next 20 years. We've tried 75 years of a board setup. I don't think that it any longer can be managed by 8 volunteers and a chancellor. We need full-time people up there doing the job and making the decisions. And I think the measure before the people, and I hope it passes.
Governor Jack Dalrymple said it was the, well, if not the most, one of the greatest sessions in our state's history. You agree with that?
I agree with that. And those people that are our naysayers over the whole session, Fargo was a big winner with the $450 million and some safeguards in there for when the state's money's available. NDSU finally got some equity payments to bring it up to where it belonged. The citizens won with over $1 billion worth of tax relief. We didn't throw all that surplus down the tube. What we did is we made sure that they got their share. We built a good reserve for the future. I think we had a good session.
Al Carlson, thanks for spending time with us today.
Not a problem. Nice talking to you, too.
Thank you. Republican from Fargo, Al Carlson, North Dakota House Majority Leader, talking about the session. It was historic, if not for anything else, from a spending standpoint. This is What's in Your Mind.
Do you have a happy place? One of those places you can escape to? For Maria and I and the kids, that place is Chase on the Lake in Walker, Minnesota. It's a short drive from where we live in Fargo-Moorhead, but I'll tell you what, every mile we're closer to Chase, you feel the weight of the world just come off your shoulders. And right now, if you stay at Chase on the Lake any Sunday through Thursday and get any hotel room, any one of the place, $75. King room, lakeside, suites. If it's available, it's yours for $75 per night. Now, to get that special, you need to do something. So stay tuned for that in a moment here. And by the way, you can check out their award-winning Aveda Spa and receive 40% off any spa service, too. Now, all of this is only available to Flag listeners. To get this great offer, go to chaseonthelake.com, enter the promo code FLAG. chaseonthelake.com, promo code FLAG. See you at Chase on the Lake, Walker, Minnesota.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
Heart and Body Extract continues to receive positive testimonials from people who have experienced amazing results, like Reed.
I just wanted to send you a quick but a very big thank you for Heart and Body Extract. I've been on the formula for nearly a month now, and the improvement in the circulation of my leg has been simply amazing.
Reed was facing a tough choice.
I was facing surgery due to the severity of 100% blocked arteries in both my legs. And my decision, waiting for surgery, to say no and try Heart and Body Extract instead has been thankfully the right decision.
And the result?
I can now walk up steps without noticeable pain.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, for a long and healthy life.
What's on your mind? From the studios of K-Fire 550 in Bismarck, broadcasting to the Northern Plains with new affiliates AM 1100 The Flag in Fargo-Moorhead, AM 1090 KTGO in the Bakken, KLTC 1460 in Dickinson, and soon KCJB 910 in Minot. We thought they were starting today, but
I love that bumper song.
Yeah, ooh, ah, ooh, ah, ooh. Almost as good as Chris Cagle last year.
You know, it's kind of like North Dakota living on a prayer from a taxpayer standpoint.
That's exactly right. The North Dakota legislative session is history. It gaveled to a close early Saturday morning, And we are spending the day recapping it and answering your questions, a lot of which are coming in by email, but we certainly welcome yours by phone as well. You can call us at 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550. We have one more guest on the legislative session, Steve, and then we're going to settle this debate on whether it's the Souris or the mouse once and for all. We're going to try to get to the bottom of that, because as you recall, we've had listeners call this program very upset that people still call the Souris River the Souris River because they say it's the mouse river.
Well, it's French. It's like cerise. I don't speak French, so I kind of fell on the mouse side.
We've called on a historian, really a sociologist, a scholar, a author, a pastor.
Friend of yours.
Bill Sherman will be here. Yeah, well, I think he's a friend of every North Dakota.
Yeah, Father Sherman.
Kenton Onstead is here. Kenton is the Democratic leader in the House. You just heard Al Carlson, the Republican leader in the House. So we want to get the Democratic perspective on the legislative session and get the headlines. Kenton, thanks for joining us.
Yes, good morning.
So what's your headline on the session that was?
Well, we record spending, but we had record needs across the state, and it's probably more about what didn't get covered, and a lot of those stuffs are still laying out there. So I guess that's probably the headline.
Kenton, Steve Bakken here. What didn't get covered? What would you have liked to have gotten to that did not get addressed in this legislative session?
Well, I think we got landowner issues out in western North Dakota that are still there. There are some compromises made, but they're still going to be there. I think the flaring is just top dressing, what we did on to stop the flaring. I don't think we entered in a program to deal with PERS retirement and TFFR retirement and part of that, and then we kind of scaled off from that, kind of had a four-year plan, and we kind of scaled away from that, so we didn't get that adequately addressed. I think we have hospitals out there that are all across the state are in a position where they have a lot of bad debt, so on, and maybe we've addressed part of that, but I think still we're going to have to come back and address that in the future. I don't think we adequately addressed pre-K. I don't think we addressed the daycare situation across the state. I think housing is still going to be a problem, but that probably always will be a problem.
Kenton Onstead is with us, the minority leader, by the way, who's from Partial, North Dakota. What's the best cafe in Partial, Ken?
Best cafe is the Wrangler.
So if you were down to the Wrangler, and you probably already have been there, but if you'd walked in there today and said, okay, what was good about the session, what was bad? I mean, I'm talking about less of the sort of back and forth that happens in the halls of the Capitol and more folks just out there, you know, making an honest living every day. What do they say about it?
They would say, you know, where's how much relief is going to be for property tax? So you'd have to go through and make that explanation and explain all that. That would be their biggest thing. The other thing they would say is, well, we're going to finally get our roads fixed out this way. And so you'd have to talk about that at length, where it's going to be, where the direction is going to be. Those would be their main concerns. City and development, and the third thing would be the environment.
We have a call waiting. Chris has a question for Representative Kent Onstead. Go ahead, Chris, you're on for Kent Onstead.
Yeah, Kent, I just wanted to thank you for your work during the legislative session. I'll tell you what, you are, how you put up with Al Carlson I'll have to pat you on the back because we call him the little bully out here in western North Dakota. And I guess thank you for sticking up for us out here.
Well, I appreciate that. Al's got a position that he wants to direct, and I respect that. At that point, he respects my position, and we go to work each day in trying to correct that and make it all work. You know, we probably don't agree on many things, but we do respect the process. We respect each other, and we're friends. But when it comes to walking in and working every day, it's a philosophy that we have to work through.
Chris, thanks for the phone call, letting us know what's on your mind. What is on your mind? 1-800-228-0550, 701-258-0550. Quick question. Chris brought up a great point. How was it working with that supermajority that the Republicans have in trying to get things done from the Democratic side through the legislative session?
Well, majority or minority, however you look at it, people elect people to come to the Capitol and represent your own particular district. And then that's what they really expect. Now, if out in West you're following a Fargo position, I suppose they question that. But the main part is, I think, for the people of North Dakota, they expect you to come to Bismarck and work together and put good public policy, and you have to put party politics aside. Some like to push that avenue, and I guess it is what it is. I think people recognize that the imbalance probably doesn't lead to good policy, and we have once we can bring things more in balance, I think it would be better for the state of North Dakota, because discussion is good. When you put competing ideas on the table, it should be discussed.
There you go. It should be a debate. It should be a battle, without question.
It should be about whose name is on the deal and who's going to get credit for it.
Great points. Ken, thanks. Thanks for all your hard work. Republicans and Democrats all alike worked very hard in that legislative session. You ought to thank them for doing so.
We'll be right back with more of What's on Your Mind after these messages.
Hard-working trucks. Three brands to choose from on one lot at Nelson Auto Center in Fergus Falls. America's favorite brands. Ford F-Series, GMC Sierra, or Ram. Drive all three and compare and never leave our lot. Plus, we'll deliver your new truck free within 300 miles. Check our website, nelsonfergusfalls.com. You'll see our prices, our inventory, and our great selection of three truck brands. Seven new brands all in one lot. Nelson Auto Center. Visit online anytime, nelsonfergusfalls.com. Exit 54, Fergus Falls.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
US, one in every 50 homes will have a break-in this year. Burglars call it smash and grab. Police call it robbery. We call it avoidable. We are Fake TV, a simple electronic device that can fool even professional burglars. Fake TV easily plugs into any outlet and simulates the changing colors of a television. To a burglar, it looks like someone must be home watching TV, so they'll likely move on to an easier target. At only $29.95, Fake TV costs less than a month of most alarm monitoring plans and comes with free shipping. Order your Fake TV by calling 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. That's 877-532-5388 or faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
Springtime is sale time at Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big and stock up at herbalhealer.com. New customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's spring specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. CoQ10 with Hawthorn, Colon Enhancer, Sea Cucumber, Super Fem and Super Male Plex, plus Glucosamine Chondroitin, our best selling liquid CalMag Vitamin D, and our colloidal minerals, all on sale for spring at herbalhealer.com. And Herbal Healer also offers certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at herbalhealer.com.
Listening to What's on Your Mind, I'm Steve Bakken along with Scott Hannon on KFIRE 550 and our many other stations that are joining us now on the program. And Mike, what's on your mind today?
Good morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
Good. What is on your mind today, my friend?
Well, I was going to ask either one of the leaders. I tuned in a little late, but Carlson and another fellow you had on there for the Democratic side, I was going to ask them, well, now that they spent all this boatload of money, I realize there's a lot of stuff they had to pay for, but when can us taxpayers out here expect to get rid of either the income tax or the sales tax or both? I mean, how much is enough? You know, but I didn't get to ask that question, so I was just going to maybe answer you guys.
Mike, let me ask you the question. Which would you like to see go away first?
Income tax?
Well, if you can only have one. Now, I lived in Portland, Oregon for a while, and Oregon is one of those states that does not have a sales tax on things.
Right.
Is that the way to go? Would you rather see the property tax eliminated? Would you like to see the sales tax go away? Would you like to see the income tax reduced or go away? You're going to prioritize them, where do you start?
Okay, we all know, like, as a result of the last session here, that no property tax reform was committed. So then they're not committed to that. I mean, there's it's too big of a mess, and it's never going to get done. You know, the things that can be done, though, is to eliminate either the income tax or the sales tax, if not both of them. Simple fact is the money that the revenue that the state does take in off oil and everything that comes along with it. You know, so I'd like to see the income tax, state income tax, get do away with first.
You know, what's funny about that though? Did you hear Max Schneider earlier complain that $250 million went into income tax reductions, personal and corporate? He was saying that was a waste.
Yeah.
You were saying, and you're saying, one question I would have liked to ask him, if South Dakota can do without one, as in zero goose egg, should North Dakota be moving towards that?
And according to their governor, they have no oil.
That's
not what their geologist says, but yeah, they have no oil revenue.
Yeah.
And the thing with the property tax is, you know, what about the renters? There's a lot of people that rent property, and they don't, you know, they say, well, if you reduce property tax, the people that rent people will be able to lower their rent. But that never happens. You know?
Mike, I agree with you. I'd like to see the income tax go down. As far as the sales tax, that's a consumption tax. If you choose not to buy something, you don't get taxed on it.
You know what I want? All taxes to go down. That's why this whole internet tax thing makes me goofy, because we pay it. We're the ones that are going to pay more taxes. So,
And I did call Senator Hovind, like you advised me last week, and I left him that message. And I can't do so.
Well, we plan on asking more about that. Appreciate the call. Thanks a bunch, Mike. Thanks. 800-228-0550. Steve, one of the things we want to do with this program, correct me if I'm wrong, is get answers for listeners, right? And we had a listener call a week or so ago, very upset that the Souris River was called the Souris River in North Dakota, because the listener was coming from the perspective that it's the Mouse River in North Dakota, it's the Souris River in Canada, but it's the same river. So I got a little confused, and I said, you know what, we need to get somebody on this program that knows North Dakota history, every corner, every inch, who's written books about it. And so Father William Sherman, Bill Sherman, who spent a lot of time in parishes across North Dakota, a lot of time at the Newman Centers, UND and NDSU, who's been on the faculty of both, sociologist, in addition to his time as a pastor, and has written books with the University of Mary Press, agreed to do a little research for us on this very point and join us in the program. Hopefully the listeners that wanted to know are here. Father Sherman, are you there?
I'm there. You bet.
How are you?
Oh, just fine, thank you.
Feels like spring has finally sprung, doesn't it?
I'm sitting in the sun right now.
Soaking it all in as we speak, right?
Yeah, I sure am, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So can you settle this little controversy for us on the Cirrus and the Mouse? Which is it?
Yeah, sure I can, yeah. Yeah, the first people into the Dakotas were French, or the French Indian, the Métis. And they named everything with a French name. And then along comes the Americans. And they kept switching French names into English names. And so it is the same doggone thing. Cirrus means mouse in French and English. Now, the reason it was called the Mouse River is that when the French came through, there were so many field mouse, mice, or whatever the word is, along the edge of the river, see? So they call it the Mouse River. And then, of course, the English changed it. But this is true of a lot of things. Like the Red River was the River Rouge, and they changed it into the Red River. And if you go east end of North Dakota, where the Red River starts is the Bois de Sioux. That was a French name, but the English never got around to change it, see? So it was the English way of doing it. The Turtle Mountains, for example, was originally a French name. Then the English turned it into turtle because at a distance it looked like a turtle on the prairies. So that's the English way of doing things. They weren't too gung-ho about the French.
So who's right?
Well, depends about which country you live in.
Well, we live
Canada's,
here.
Canada is a little nicer to the French than Americans were.
Well, Father Sherman, from a North Dakota perspective, what's the correct answer? Is it Mouse or Cirrus? From a North Dakota resident.
I'm a North Dakota resident. No, call it the Mouse. And let Canadians worry about it themselves.
All right. So
why don't you ask me real complicated questions? A fundamental one. Take, for example, why do Norwegians eat lutefisk, and why do Germans eat sauerkraut?
Okay, answer your own question. That's a good question. You answer your own question.
I can't answer either.
Well, I know why us Norwegians eat lutefisk, because we're not that bright. Ugh, not a fan of that.
Well, I don't know. I think it's made out of dried carp or some darn thing, or herring or something.
Now, I've read many of your books, all of which are amazing, and I wish we had the program just to talk about all your great books. And
I appreciate it. You've
done so many wonderful ones. One book I thought it would be a pretty short book, but is actually fascinating, is called Arabs in North Dakota.
That's right.
And did you tell me once that the first mosque in America was built in North Dakota?
The first mosque in America was out at Ross, North Dakota, right near Stanley. It was a cluster of immigrants, Muslim immigrants from Lebanon. And we had a list of 300 or 400 of them. Everybody was coming to North Dakota because of free land, you know. And off they came. Now, like a lot of other people, they didn't stay. They proved up on their claim, and most of them got out, but not all of them. But nonetheless, they built a mosque out there. The mosque doesn't exist anymore, but there's a kind of a stone monument there, building, in remembrance of it, see. Now, today, there's 1,000 mosques in America. But we have the privilege of having the very first.
And of course, there's been a big controversy nationally about a mosque being built near Ground Zero in New York City, because mosques today, especially some, have a much more controversial flavor than they did then, right? I mean, what was it anywhere near as controversial then? I mean, that than it is today.
No, they were just like anybody else. In fact, they didn't call them Muslims; they called them Mohammedans in those days. But I happen to be a sociologist, so I looked very carefully to see if there were prejudice against them. And they looked at the school records and the newspaper records and so on. No, they were just like anybody else that came here. So they did okay.
Now, Steve keeps calling that horse that didn't do so well in the Kentucky Derby this weekend a steeplechaser. Isn't that what you call it, Steve?
That's the bloodline.
The steeplechaser. Does that have anything to do with your book, Scattered Steeples, about the churches in North Dakota?
No, it didn't. Although I must say, they used to call the Arabs in North Dakota, they were Lebanese, they used to call them camel jocks. And they called themselves camel jocks. So it had nothing to do with the steeplechasers. I don't know what that means.
But how about tell us a little bit about your book, Scattered Steeples.
Oh, that was a book, frankly, on the Catholic Church in North Dakota, North Dakota. And it was a series of articles on different parts of the and everything about nuns and early churches, and also had even in the Ku Klux Klan in there, too. Anything that had to do with early North Dakota Catholic history. Big doggone book. Holy smoke. But it was people who wrote these different things. We put them together into a whole volume. But the reason for steeples, of course, is that there were steeples all over the prairies. And that's where we got the title.
Was the idea of a steeple that you could see a church from a long ways away?
That was it, yeah. But also they were modeling them after European churches. So whether they were Lutheran or Catholic or whatever it is, in the old country they had steeples. So when they built them out of wood up here, they made them wood steeples.
That was part of that to accommodate a bell?
Well, that Father was part of it, yeah.
Was that to accommodate the bells so you could hear from a long way away and see it from a far way away?
Yes, he could, yeah. But on the prairies, it was nice because when you came to a town, the first thing you saw was a steeple, whether it's a Lutheran town or a Catholic town. And so it was kind of a landmark, too.
Is there a difference between Lutheran and Catholic steeples going back in history?
No. they were all done by American architects. And I don't know what religion they might have been.
So, fascinating. Very interesting. Well, unfortunately, we're out of time. We're going to have this history lesson from Father Sherman a little more often and answer the big questions of the day, right, Steve?
Absolutely.
Ask me about lutefisk, and sauerkraut.
We'll ask you that next time.
Yeah, although we have to be able to solve it when we ask it next time. Yeah. I'll tell you what, North Dakota's blessed right now. I mean, you look at the ag economy, you look at the oil energy economy. I mean, you look what's happening.
I'll tell you.
It's amazing. It's a great place to be, and and part of that is thanks to our ancestors, right? And folks that settled here looking for that free land a long, long time ago. Good work ethic for sure. Thanks, Father Sherman. Good to talk to you.
All right, thank you.
In our genealogy, is that what he said? That's a
Mm-hmm.
It's a $24 word for me.
What's on your mind with Steve Bakken and Scott Hannon. We'll be right back after these messages.
Did you know there were 78 credit unions in North and South Dakota with assets in excess of $4.2 billion and nearly a half a million credit union members? Credit unions play a very important role in the financial landscape of the Dakotas. They're unique in their structure. They're member-owned, not-for-profit financial cooperatives that return their earnings back to members. Unfortunately, most folks and even our policymakers don't understand that. Credit unions exist to help people, not make a profit. And credit unions operate under the philosophy of people helping people. That philosophy works well in the Dakotas, so the credit unions can serve their members, including those of modest means, providing credit at reasonable rates and other financial services to members. and they work hard to assist their members to become better educated consumers of financial services. Find out more at CUontheRoad.org. CU as in Credit Union, OnTheRoad.org, and on their Facebook page, the Credit Union Association of the Dakotas.
Ceramic body armor is rated to stop six hits. But what about the seventh? Unlike ceramic or Kevlar, Infidel body armor is proven to take hit after hit, and it just won't quit. Reasonably priced and designed for the smart civilian prepper, Infidel stops hundreds of hits from small arms to high-powered rifles. That means safety and peace of mind. Buy yours at InfidelBodyArmor.com. Spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed-saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American-owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy-free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TERRAGANIX.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
What's on your mind on KFIRE 550 and a host of other stations, Scott Hennon, Steve Bach, and myself, a brand new program, 258-0550, 1-800-228-0550. Let's go to those phones. Ron, what's on your mind today?
I missed out on part of the Carlson's talk. The way I understand the property tax was the direct payment to schools for a subsidy plus help on local property taxes, is that right?
Yeah, it's about $1 billion. $656 million is in K-12 education. It's in that funding formula. So it essentially is state money that says, here you go, schools, spend less. You follow me? So then property taxes can come down. Then there's $200 million that come out. It's tax credits that actually are distributed through the local subdivisions. So
did he discuss the first bill that the House passed before it went to crossover?
Well, he talked about the reason things got a little haywire at the end was the House was defending its position all along on wanting more property tax relief. So one of the arguments I heard, and again, this is the Republican view, so it's obviously going to be from their perspective, was the K-12 education bill was never in jeopardy, but in order to negotiate more effectively with Senate Republicans, they had to vote down that bill so they could get more in property tax relief than they wanted, which was the House position. Essentially, I think a fair way to look at this is House Republicans were more conservative than Senate Republicans.
Yes.
And so the House wanted more tax relief, and that battle sort of went to the 11th hour.
Well, the way my representative explained it to me, basically the House bill, the first House bill, was actually a cap on the dollar value of the property tax, not on the mill levy. And I guess, well, I thought that was the right way to go, but...
You know, one of the things that I saw in this session, Ron, was a lot of people were upset, not so much about the amount of property tax relief, but the fact that there wasn't some reform in there. How do you sit with that? Would you to have seen some reform rather than...
What do you mean by reform, Steve?
Changing the system. For me, it's not the best system when you're just getting taxed, turning around, and then giving a rebate on taxes, because at some point your taxes can go up.
Spending still goes up.
Yeah, the spending still goes up.
I was listening to a Canadian radio here about 6 weeks ago, and they were talking about how their property values have increased so dramatically, and all the local subdivisions were going to have to meet the lower the mill levy because property tax had to be revenue neutral. And that's basically what I understand the first House bill was. And I guess you're asking me what I think of it. I think these local subdivisions are not going to control spending, and within 2 years, our taxes will be right back where they were, and we will have an initiated measure. That's what I think is going to happen.
Do you think it's going to be that long? Is it going to take 2 years?
To get the initiated measure going. I think it'll start by the summer, but I think it'll take that long to get it, get it finalized. But
Ron, from what I've heard, it's already started. They were already working on working up a new measure number two, or whatever measure it's going to wind up being.
But to go to Ron's point, the reason those reforms were not included, Jim Casper had one that some folks called a cap. Mark Owens from Grand Forks had another one that was basically, let's not call mills mills, let's have a total reform of how we get this into dollars and cents, make it simple, and allowed the cities, the counties, and the schools to spend as much as they want in addition to the previous year's spending, as long as they, quote-unquote, limited the amount of spending at the that came from the state to 3%. Anything above 3%, they would go back to the people and say, we want to spend more. But those didn't happen. None of those happened. And so I think that's the $64,000 question. Can these dollars actually turn into real relief for the people, or does it just allow more spending?
This is going to allow more spending.
Ron, from a local control aspect, do you trust them? Can you trust your local school board, city council, and county commission to spend responsibly?
Well, they've proven in the last many sessions that they can't.
And just so you know, Ron, superintendents were the reason those reforms went away. Superintendents have an enormous amount of power in the state of North Dakota. A little less so county commissioners and city council folks, but superintendents more so than not. Early on in the session, about halfway through the session, I was at a town hall meeting in Grafton, and we asked the question, how many people want limits on local spending with this property tax relief? 99% of the hands went up, all right? Who thinks it's a bad idea? One hand went up. I said, what do you do, sir? I'm the superintendent of Grafton Schools. And they got a lot of power politically.
And they've got so much money now, they don't know what to do with it. I think initiated measure will come. And I voted against it last time, but I will vote for it this time.
I think a lot of people are going to vote for it. Ron, thanks for your phone call. Thanks for letting us know what's on your mind.
I have a list of Father Sherman's books. Some folks called earlier and said, hey, you mentioned his books. What are they? Plain Folks, A History of Ethnic Groups in North Dakota. Prairie Mosaic, An Ethnic Atlas of North Dakota. Prairie Mosaic, An Ethnic Atlas of North Dakota. I should be able to say this a little better. African Americans in North Dakota was another of his books. Arabs in North Dakota. So he's written a lot of really interesting books.
He's well read.
Sells Russia. Did you know there's a Sells Russia and a Sells North Dakota?
No, I did not.
Yeah.
Where's that at?
He's written that too. I forget where Sells is at, but
I don't even know if it's still that went away.
I think so. Yeah. And then of course scattered steeples as well. So we probably forget
old rail line there and what's left of an old elevator. That's probably about it.
Exactly right. Well, we had a lot of guests today, so tomorrow we'll have more callers and guests. How about that?
Not the norm for the number of guests we have, but we were wrapping up the session today and a little bit of a recap coming out of today's show, Scott. What's your take on property taxes this legislative session? Do you think there's going to be another Second Amendment or measure number two?
It'll probably depend on whether or not folks see real relief at the property tax level, and that's not going to happen overnight. So we'll watch it close. We'll talk about it tomorrow right here, right?
On KFIRE 550 and the host of station, it's What's on Your Mind.
If you need a building for any reason, you need Bach & Bruce. We're talking hangars. Yeah, as in put airplanes in them. We're talking industrial uses. We're talking garages, workshops, trucking, agriculture, horse barns, arenas, storage buildings, warehouse. They built churches. They built schools. They built fire and police stations. And guess what? If you call them and get a free quote, you're going to see why thousands and thousands of people in the Bakken every day are finding out why legacy steel buildings are the industry leader in providing superior quality, service, and durability at the most competitive prices. But here's the deal. Everybody tells you that, right? It sounds like a sales pitch. Call Bach & Bruce, Bruce Anker, and the team at Legacy Steel Buildings, 800-237-9620. Bruce and his brother Wayne and their family have been building buildings in this part of the world forever. They'll help you out. 800-237-9620. Tell them Scott sent you.
Bills in front of Congress right now could take away your right to keep and bear arms. If Obama has his way, all guns will be either banned, restricted, or confiscated, possibly by executive order. The best way to keep your guns is to hide them. What Obama can't find, Obama can't take away. You can protect your guns from any threat. Download our special report, How to Hide Your Guns, at GoHideYourGuns.com. Learn how to hide your guns while keeping them readily available. Get the report now before they make us take it down. On the web at GoHideYourGuns.com.
Sergeant Dave Scott, Army Search and Rescue veteran, wants you to hear this urgent message. All emergencies have casualties, but in America, most casualties from storms like Katrina and Sandy only happen because good people were in the wrong place at the wrong time. Don't let that happen to you. Visit yourbugoutplan.com on the web. Watch a free video presentation of the skills you need to be long gone before any disaster can touch you. You owe it to yourself and to your family to watch this. Head to yourbugoutplan.com on the web right now, yourbugoutplan.com.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled L-E-C-I-G.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Your freedoms are on the line. The Second Amendment is in danger. How soon before your freedoms are taken away? What can you not live without? What is your greatest dependency? Is it your guns? Is it your home? No, it's food. It all boils down to the food supply. Tyrannical governments control people by controlling their food supply. Don't be dependent. Be self-sufficient. Don't wait for the government to feed you. Feed yourself. I can warn you, but I can't feed you. Do like Alex has done and get a supply of food from eFoods Direct. It's the best long-term storable food on the planet. Get the popular Mega Patriot Pack free. A 24-day supply of food plus stove, cook pot, and fuel. Call 800-250-1857 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and get up to 20 Mega Patriot Packs free with purchase. Build your food supply. Be in control. Be self-sufficient and be a patriot. Call 800-250-1857 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and get your free Patriot Pack today.